We pray. Heavenly Father, God of mercy, speak your mysteries of love into our very hearts, into the fabric of our being. May we rejoice with the angels on high. Christ is born, and in him may we have life in time and eternity. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. If you were a butcher or a baker in Bethlehem on the night Jesus was born, would you have stopped your work, stopped your party, and gone out to the stable to see the Christ child? As the shepherds moved through the streets of Bethlehem, proclaiming this miracle, this mystery that they have witnessed, and the angels that came and proclaimed, would you have stirred and moved out to see this thing the shepherds had proclaimed to you? Or would you simply just go on with your life? Had you gotten up and actually traveled that little distance to the stable, you would have seen Mary and Joseph and a newborn baby. 10 fingers, 10 toes, just like every other baby. And would you have said, oh, cute little baby, but you know what? It looks just like every other newborn baby I've ever seen. Or would you say, ah, the Christ child. The Christ come in human flesh. Would you recognize him for who he truly is? Satan wanted the noble people of Bethlehem to simply ignore all this chatter and simply just go on with their life, to ignore this miracle that was merely steps away from their front door. Well, this very day, Satan wants the noble people of Antioch to ignore the mystery of and the miracle of faith that is just steps away from them, found in Holy Scripture, to ignore and busily go on with their own lives and to lose out on the miracle that God has intended for them. But if we are to be different, if you wish to ponder with Mary all these things that have happened and treasure them up in your heart, then you must do what Mary did, and ask ourselves the important questions. Who is this baby in Mary's arms? Everything revolves around that. And with the simplest of words, the Apostle John throws us into the deepest of mysteries. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John calls Jesus the Word. At times you may have been called, oh, you're the man, whatever that might mean. But here John calls Jesus the Word. Well, what does that really mean? Bianca and Otto were high school juniors and they began dating. They looked like the perfect couple. And yet, not so much. Otto was a champion of the football and basketball and baseball team. He kind of prized himself as the strong, silent type. Bianca, on the other hand, liked to talk. And every time she talked about something serious, Otto would simply just flash his bright smile and his baby blue eyes at her and sat in silence. It was almost as if flashing his Hollywood smile at her would just melt her heart and she would forget all about what she wanted to talk about and just focus solely on him. Not with Bianca. After a few attempts at having a mature conversation, Bianca said to him, "Otto, you have beautiful blue eyes, but looking into your eyes doesn't even tell me your name. Use your words and tell me who's on the inside." God isn't the silent type. No. God has intimate, personal conversations going on all the time from eternity within himself. He has a very deep awareness of who he is and what he wants to do and all that he will accomplish, and he wants to tell us about it. He wants to reveal it to us in intimate, personal details. He reveals to us his deepest feelings and his highest motives. Are we ready for such a mature conversation as that? God commands his internal word to go out from within him and blanket the globe that all may know the one true God, that he might not be a mystery to anyone. And so he sends forth his word, Jesus Christ, into all the world. And this word is not just with God in his deepest inner recesses. This word is God. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. If you think about it, words are rather wonderful, aren't they? That God gave us that ability to communicate and use our words. Because words reveal what is hidden. Our personal secrets that we whisper in the ear of a loved one. Words teach and instruct. At least we like to believe in our 8th grade catechism class. As we pour the pitcher of thoughts into empty heads and fill them hopefully to overflowing. We share our deepest thoughts through our words. Like every time we say, "I love you." Words express knowledge and expertise and authority and even commitment. When we say, "I promise you," is your word your bond? Jesus is the word of God. In all of its facets, Jesus is communicating for God. Because he is God. God sends forth his word to reveal his master plan. That God's word came in flesh. Human flesh. This Christmas, have you planned for someone to come? Someone you haven't seen for a long time. Perhaps someone in the military. Or someone who's been overseas or gone for a long, long time. Have you planned, anticipated, set a plate at the table for them? Oh, how different that is to anticipate as to when they show up in person, in the flesh. Now they have truly arrived. For centuries, God's people hung on every word of God. He's coming. The Messiah is going to arrive. Set a place at your table for him. Anticipate his arrival. And then God's word comes in the flesh. Who is this baby in Mary's arms? He's the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. That is who Mary is holding in her arms. That seems so meek and mild and weak. But now he has a human body. He has guts and brains. He has skin and bones. He has a heart and a soul just like you and me. Fully human and yet remaining 100% truly God. But why? Why would the Lord God Almighty take on flesh like ours? For one purpose only, to save us from our sins. You see, as being God, he is above the law. laws are for humans. But in becoming human, from the very first moment of his birth, Mary looked at that child and knew, now you are under the very same law. You are to obey those Ten Commandments. And on that day of his birth, he was beginning that 33-year long journey of obeying God's law perfectly in thought, word, and deed. With every game he played, every enemy he confronted, every need in life, he was going to obey it perfectly. Why? So he could give that to you and to me. We're credited with his perfection through faith. He did it, we get credit for it. Why did he take on human flesh? God, in all of his glory, cannot die. But now God is born of Mary with a human flesh and heart. And now God dies. God owns our wickedness, our rebellion and sin, making it his own and offering his life in place of our life, to die, to make peace between us and God, to rise in victory on that Easter morn. So his 33 years here was an ever closer march and march to Jerusalem to be that sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world. Why would God take on human flesh? Also that we could have free forgiveness. The Word, Jesus, was born into our world, into our flesh, so that we could have a new birth into everlasting life. John puts the mystery so neatly. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Like Christmas lights on a dark night, they beam down the street, they light up the sky. So the Word shines forth into our dark world and our dark hearts. Just a few chapters later in the Gospel of John, remember chapter 3? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He goes on in that chapter to talk about the effect this glorious light of God has on the sinful people of this world. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. By nature, there is a deep darkness inside of each and every one of us. The conversations we have with ourselves, the word that dwells within us is a word of lying. We lie to ourselves and we lie to everyone else. It's so instinctive and natural because that's our fallen self. How deep is the darkness? It's our native language. This is a foreign language when Jesus comes and speaks nothing of the truth, nothing but the truth that comes from the throne of God, and how that is foreign and alien to us by nature, and often moves us to repel away from the light, back into the darkness. That is why so many people want Christmas simply just to be a winter celebration. They lie to themselves as to the true meaning of Christmas because they don't want to need a Savior for their wretched sinning. How blessed we are when Jesus' light dawns upon us and calls us out of the darkness and gives us faith to believe in this foreign Word of God, that God would so love us that he'd send his Son to such depths in order to lift us to such heights. Who would have thought? Who could imagine? Who is this baby in Mary's arms? You say to yourself, oh, had I been in Bethlehem, I would have run out to the stable to worship and bow down. I would have been there with the wise men. Really? God veiled his word in human flesh and blood. Today, he veils his word in ink and paper. If that would have been our heart's desire, oh, if I had only been in Bethlehem, how I would have rejoiced at the opportunity to kneel before my Savior, so have that passion and desire to read the Word of God as He's speaking to us in His veiled condition. Then the Word of God becomes our hope and our delight. Envision for yourself a second that you are bending before the Christ child in his manger. And there, over your head, the Heavenly Father appears. He is pleased at the birth of his son to Mary. He is pleased that after all these centuries, the plan is beginning. The salvation is being won. God is there along with the angels singing the praises that this is good. This is what I've planned from all eternity, he says. This is what I promised to Mary, to Adam and Eve in the garden, that the seed of the woman would come and crush that serpent, that Satan's head. And now it's begun. Here is the one that I fill the prophet's pens with, as I described in great detail all that I would do with my Messiah. God is rejoicing as he says, see, I am a keeper of my words. And oh, that my people would gather around and feed on every word that comes from his mouth. Do you envision God asking you, do you hear? Do you trust? Do you eagerly wait to worship your God and drink in all his words? Believe what Scripture says with all your heart and soul. The Word has become flesh and made his dwelling with us, that he might make a dwelling for us in the mansions of heaven. He would do all of this so that we would not remain in the darkness and doomed to hell, but have the light of life here in time as we move through all of our days and forever in glory everlasting with him. Rejoice at the light that has dawned on you, the bright light of God's presence in your heart and in the fabric of your being. What a holy present he has given us in giving us himself. Embrace the light. Drink in deeply his word. Rejoice that you are called the children of God. Rejoice, your Savior has come. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, God of all grace, how beautifully you have won our salvation. You have sent your one and only Son, the Word made flesh, to be our Lord. Bless us and strengthen us as we ponder with Mary all these mysteries that have taken place. In you we have light and life, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.